Jeffrey Schaefer appears the quintessential British diplomat, Oxford-educated, with a beautiful family in their elegant Washington, D.C. townhouse. But beneath this polished veneer lurks a disturbing double life. By night, he transforms into Death, one of four players in a global fantasy role-playing game called The Four Horsemen. While the other players merely fantasize about violence, Schaefer acts out his murderous scenarios in real life, driving a purple and blue taxi through Southeast DC to pick up prostitutes before brutally killing them. What makes Schaefer uniquely terrifying is his methodical approach to murder. He rolls 20-sided dice to determine his actions, transforming killing into a ritualized experience. The dice dictate whether he acts or waits, creating a bizarre moral abdication where he pretends fate, not his own depravity, determines who lives or dies. Despite taking medications like Thorazine and Xanax to manage his deteriorating mental state, he deliberately courts chaos, sending taunting messages to his fellow players, "Death is on the loose." Imagine a man who understands society's rules perfectly, which is precisely why he's so effective at breaking them. His entire existence is performance, playing the devoted husband while secretly despising his family, maintaining his diplomatic facade while plotting murders, even manipulating his psychiatrist for drugs and sexual gratification. Detective Alex Cross counters Schaefer's compartmentalized madness with an integrated moral identity. We meet him driving boys to visit incarcerated fathers, volunteer work showing his commitment to Southeast D.C. Cross's home with grandmother Nana Mama and children Damon and Janny provides emotional grounding amid daily horrors. Their rituals, boxing lessons, piano playing, Nana's sticky buns, create a sanctuary of normalcy. His relationship with Christine Johnson adds romantic depth, culminating in a marriage proposal at Washington National Cathedral. What distinguishes Cross is his insistence on justice for overlooked victims. When a teenager calls a murdered prostitute just some street whore, Cross firmly asserts they're there for all the Jane Does. His psychological training gives him unique insight into Schaefer's pathology, helping him profile the weasel as an organized family man caught in an escalating fantasy cycle. When Christine disappears during their Bermuda vacation, Cross experiences the case from a victim's perspective, deepening his commitment to justice. The Jane Doe murders expose stark inequities in how society values human life. The novel contrasts minimal resources for investigating murders of black women in Southeast D.C. versus white victims in Georgetown. Chief Pittman dismisses the possibility of a serial killer, calling it criminals murdering criminals. Through Cross, we learn about victims like Nina Childs, an ER nurse raising two children, and teenagers Tori Glover and Marion Cardinal, whose bodies are arranged grotesquely. When Cross shares 67 unsolved homicide reports with reporter Zachary Taylor, he reveals how Southeast murders receive fewer resources than cases in wealthier areas. Some Metro cops callously refer to Southeast as self-cleaning ovens and victims as NHIs, no humans involved. This institutional neglect creates perfect hunting grounds for predators like Schaefer, who exploits these justice system blind spots. When Christine disappears in Bermuda, it immediately makes front page news, a stark contrast to the Jane Doe murders that barely register in public consciousness. The Four Horsemen game represents the novel's most disturbing innovation, a global network of ex-intelligence agents competing in elaborate murder fantasies. Each player assumes a biblical identity. Schaefer is Death, Oliver Highsmith is Conqueror, George Beyer is Famine, and James Whitehead is War. What began as role-playing among MI6 agents in Bangkok evolved when Schaefer began using real victims. Players roll 20-sided dice to determine actions, creating an illusion of chance that absolves them of moral responsibility. They share adventures through encrypted channels, framing murder as mere competition. By converting killing into a scoring system, the players detach from human consequences. All four were trained by MI6 to kill without remorse through sanctions in Asia. The novel suggests their official work blurred moral boundaries, making the transition to recreational violence disturbingly seamless. Isn't this the ultimate dehumanization, turning suffering into entertainment? How many steps removed is this from society's fascination with true crime? Diplomatic immunity serves as both plot device and metaphor, showing how privilege places certain individuals beyond justice's reach. When Schaefer is arrested for Detective Hampton's murder, his diplomatic credentials create a legal barrier despite damning evidence. Hampton's blood on his clothes, traces in his bathroom, and security footage placing him at the scene. In a calculated move, Schaefer waives his immunity, displaying arrogance and understanding that legal processes can be manipulated. His attorney, Jules Halpern, undefeated for 15 years at $1,000 per hour, methodically dismantles the prosecution's case. The trial becomes theatrical. Schaefer stages a suicide attempt for sympathy, presents edited footage portraying himself as a devoted father, and uses his psychiatrist as an alibi despite their inappropriate relationship. Halpern suggests Cross could be the murderer after revealing his investigation's fingerprints on Hampton's car. When the jury returns not guilty after just 6 hours, Patterson critiques how justice fails despite overwhelming evidence, reflecting patterns in high-profile cases where wealth and status protect the guilty. After Schaefer's acquittal, Cross and British intelligence officer Andrew Jones operate outside formal systems to stop the Four Horsemen. This endgame explores when breaking rules becomes morally necessary against adversaries exploiting legal loopholes. Cross adapts through aggressive surveillance and subtle intimidation of Schaefer. They monitor the Four Horsemen through unofficial channels, tracking finances, travel patterns, and encrypted communications globally. The final confrontation in Jamaica represents extra-legal justice. When Schaefer eliminates his former associates, Cross pursues him beyond official jurisdiction. Their underwater struggle ends with Schaefer's apparent death, though his body remains unrecovered, suggesting justice sometimes exists outside legal documentation. Patterson distinguishes this vigilante justice through Cross's moral framework. Unlike Schaefer, who kills for pleasure, Cross acts solely to prevent further violence, prioritizing finding Christine over revenge. The epilogue reveals Schaefer survived and murdered his wife Lucy in London, confirming conventional justice's failure. Where is the line between justice and vengeance when systems fail to protect the vulnerable? Pop Goes the Weasel portrays violence as a game with distinct rules. For Schaefer, murder is scored entertainment. For the justice system, investigations follow manipulable procedures. For Cross, the challenge becomes knowing when to follow or break rules to protect the vulnerable. The novel challenges simple notions of justice. We desire Schaefer's punishment, yet must confront the implications of extrajudicial justice. Christine's rescue brings relief, but we cannot ignore how the system failed countless Jane Doe victims deemed insignificant. Patterson shows that for some, violence is a structured game with rules and rewards. The Four Horsemen persist because their enabling conditions, institutional protection for powerful perpetrators, devaluation of marginalized victims, and the intoxication of power remain embedded in society. The novel challenges us to examine how we, too, might treat violence as something to be consumed rather than confronted. The weasel may pop in Patterson's narrative, but the systems enabling him remain intact, awaiting the next player.